The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nonprofit Notebook for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. And I'm Janice Valentino. And I thank you for joining me today. It's unbelievable that we're already in August. It's hard to believe that the summer has gone by and we're nearing the end of it. And we've all made it. We've all gotten through it and we will continue to get through it. And I just hope that everybody is well. I'm very excited today to come to talk about Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. But to talk to you about a new campaign that we have started, and it's called Memories Matter. Although we have been doing what we've been doing for over 32 years, and we've always known how important quality of life is and memories for families and for patients, we decided to do a campaign called Memories Matter, and that will be starting very, very soon. I have a very important guest. She is going to talk to us today about the experiences she had with hospice. Her and her family, both her mom and her dad, received hospice care. She really is a great person. A lot of you may even know who she is when you hear her name. So her name is Dr. Sharon Cazassa. And Dr. Cazassa was, I believe, one of the founding physicians of Washingtonville Pediatrics many, many years ago. And from what I remember, because I lived in Washingtonville for over 30 years, is that it was an all-woman doctor-run business. Is that right, Sharon?
That's right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So you are now retired. Isn't that right?
Yes, I am. I've been retired for several years.
Yes, yes. And Sharon, I asked you to come on and to give a testimonial about the really amazing experience that you and your family had with hospice. And not only did you agree to do this with me today, but you also agreed months back to do a video testimonial. Isn't that right?
Yes, yes. We did a video testimony before COVID hit us. And yes, it's on the hospice website.
It's going to be launched on the website. It's probably there now, but what I'm going to tell people to do is if they get a chance to go to our YouTube channel, which is Hospice of Orange and Sullivan on YouTube, and you'll be able to see it there as well, and it's called Memories Matter. You did a phenomenal job on that testimony. I'm very excited to be talking to you now about your experience.
Oh, thank you. It was a good experience for me and our family because it gave us another opportunity to talk about mom and dad.
Yes.
So it was a good function for us.
Yes, yes, it was. Your dad first started with hospice back in 2018, I believe.
Yes.
He was, for most people who come from this area will know, his name was Judge Earl Steves, isn't that right?
Yes, yes. Dad was a longtime dairy farmer in Washingtonville, and he was a town supervisor at one time, and he was also a longtime village court justice. Mm-hmm. So that's how many people in the area knew him as Judge Steves.
Yes, yes, for a very, very long time. And Judge Steves ended up coming to the Kaplan residence, like I mentioned, in 2018. Now, Sharon, this I don't know. Was Dad on hospice care previous at home, or did he come straight to
the
residence?
No, he was not. Dad's illness signs of his illness came up rather quickly. We happened to be on vacation in Maine when he lost the ability to understand what we were saying to him, and he lost the ability to really get around, walk from one place to another, and take care of himself. we immediately came home, and he saw his local physician, Dr. Bezdichek, who found a lymphoma on the brain. So it all came rather quickly. He was 98 years old and had lived a spectacular life. Fortunately, both he and my mom had talked to all five of us children about that fact, that they both felt they had lived good lives and appreciated how their lives had turned out in their work and their family. So when it came to be a very difficult diagnosis with very uncertain results from any kind of treatment, when he was hospitalized, we asked for the palliative care team and the hospice team in the hospital come to talk to us.
Yes.
And by speaking with them and our family, we were able to make a decision at that time that we were not going to seek surgery and radiation, but we're going to enter hospice. So he came right from the hospital into hospice, which was the best decision for him and for our family.
How long did Dad live at the residence?
He was only there for about 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, a little bit longer than the average amount of time. When he first entered hospice, he was aware of people around him and able to enjoy visits from the family and to have conversations with the nurses and the volunteers.
Yes,
But his last, I would say, week and a half, he was bedridden.
Yes. Well, I had gotten the opportunity to meet with you and your family. I happened to be at the residence that day, and I remember it very, very well. And you guys were having a birthday party for one of your nieces, I believe.
Yes, right. It was actually one of Dad's
grandchildren.
Great-granddaughters.
Oh, great-granddaughters.
Yeah. As you might imagine, my mom was the matriarch of the family and always had us to Sunday dinner.
Yes.
As they both got elderly and could no longer do Sunday dinner at their home, I would go and do Sunday dinner at their home.
Right.
And then when that became more difficult for the family, we made the decision to get together on Fridays at 1 o'clock at a local restaurant in Washingtonville, Betty's Country Kitchen.
And everybody knows Betty's very, very well that comes from this area.
They sure do.
Absolutely.
We became part of the family there,
sure.
Betty's, because whatever part of our family that was in the area would show up at 1 o'clock. We didn't have to make plans. We didn't have to call anybody. We never had to tell Betty's how many people were coming. They accommodated us as part of their community and family. So 1 o'clock Fridays, that's where we were.
Right.
So when Dad was admitted to hospice, we wanted to continue that tradition. And it's just one of the small but very Kaplan encouraged the family to be with our loved one and continue living each day.
Yes.
Because all I had to do was ask the director if we could have our 1 o'clock Friday lunches in the family dining room there. And they, of course, said yes. And it just happened to be Ellie's birthday that day.
Right.
So we had a whole birthday party. It was a really good experience.
It really was. And I was just so happy. I remember going in and meeting you all, and you had said, oh, we're having a little birthday party, and the family was there, and Judge Steves was there, and I remember very distinctly looking at Judge Steves and immediately recognizing him and saying, oh, my goodness, you're not going to believe this. And I, if you remember, I told you the story many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My son, who is 36 now, at the time, he was just 3 years old. He had climbed out of his car seat as I was driving down 94 in Washingtonville, and I had gotten pulled over because I guess I was going a little too fast. I don't really remember. All I know is that I had a three-year-old. I had to get back into a car seat. And to make a long story short, I got a ticket, and I had to appear in court. And it was the first time I had ever had to appear in court. And I was so nervous. And there was your dad on the bench. And, of course, that was a long time ago. But I recognized him, and he allowed me to tell my story. He dismissed the ticket.
He really was honest and compassionate and such a hard worker. He really did a wonderful service for the village. The theme you have for your fall fundraiser, Memories Matter, just fits so, because as we were going through my dad's desk and file drawer, we found multiple letters from mostly young people or parents of young people writing to the judge to thank him for the special thought or care that he gave them, either in helping them find a community service, in helping them get into the military instead of into jail,
right?
Giving them a second chance when it was clearly just a foolish misjudgment by a teenager.
Right.
He really made an impact on a lot of families. So, and he never talked about those letters.
No.
My mom didn't either. And here, the memories really do matter, because we found those letters and it meant so much to us.
Yes, yes. It was just amazing to see all of you there and really just enjoying life and continuing to make memories and continuing to live up until the last moment, not only for Dad, but for the family as well. And this is just so indicative of what hospice is all about and what we do each and every day.
It is. That's one of the things that we really appreciated about our stay at Kaplan, because it really was a place that both Mom and Dad could come.
Right.
To live out their final days. Hospice is not, and Kaplan is not a place that where you come to die. Hospice at Kaplan was really a place where you come to live your final days,
right,
with your family and friends around you and continuing to make those important memories.
Yes.
My family has a lot of memories of their stay at Kaplan.
Yes.
Meal times, coming at any time of day or night, the ice cream that they gave to Dad, the way they would help them both get outdoors into the garden in the back and sit in the gazebo, and
yes,
the family room, the family sitting room where kids could sit and play and do books and puzzles and games when we were there. So they
yes.
really make an all-out effort to include all of the family and to gradually help us feel in our hearts that we were saying goodbye, that we were getting ready
right.
as best we could
exactly.
To say goodbye.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this, and we're also going to talk about your dear mom and
sure.
and who Janet sure. Steves was in the community and her time that she had at the residence as well. So we will be back.
Hospice is for keeping hobbies and connecting with friends.
Dear Hospice, after Mom died, Dad was determined to stick to his old routine. Even after he got sick, he lived at home, he took care of himself, even had his buddies over for coffee in the morning. All because of hospice. We were amazed how many hospice people became real friends and what a comfort you all were to him. Dad worried that he'd be a burden on his kids. He never would have been, of course, but you helped him understand he really, truly wasn't. And that was the greatest comfort of all.
Hospice is more than you may think. With doctors and nurses making sure patients are comfortable, with volunteers pitching in, hospice is a way to find time and energy for things that really matter. Hospice is a plan for living.
Call Hospice of Orange and Sullivan at 561-6111 or visit hospiceoforange.com, because hospice is a plan for living.
This is attorney Bob Gruhulik of the law firm Beatty & Gruhulik, the lawyer guy. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon for the latest legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions. That's every Tuesday at 12 noon on Radio Worth Listening To. WTBQ.
Welcome back. I'm Janice Valentino, and you're listening to the Nonprofit Notebook for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. And we're in the middle of talking to a very, very special guest, Dr. Sharon Kazasa. Sharon is talking about her experience and her family's experience on hospice care, specifically both of her parents, Judge Earl Steeves, who we just spoke about, and her mom, Janet Steeves. We're going to finish up our conversation about the important care that not only her parents received, but the care also that the family received as well, getting prepared for the time when mom and dad really were going to be living out their last moments. So before we get back with Janet, I just would like to say that if you feel at this time that a loved one may be at a point where hospice would be the appropriate care, all I ask is that you give us a call at 561-6111. You can ask for Elaine. She is one of our admission specialists. And she can answer any of your questions. Even if it's not the right timing, you can ask anything that you want, and she will certainly give you the information that you're going to need. Unfortunately, we all go through this. We all lose someone that we love. But you don't have to do it alone. You certainly can have the best possible care available to your loved one, and you can get that done right here in Orange and Sullivan County with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan. So again, 561-6111, or go to our website, hospiceoforange.com. Or if you're on social media, you can go to our Facebook page, Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, as well. So welcome back, Sharon.
Well, thank you. And as an adult daughter of elderly parents, I would add my encouragement to families to consider how they want to live out their loved one's last few days, whatever time is left to them.
Right.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of medical issues and treatments that we sometimes forget that we also need to respect and honor the wishes of our loved ones. And sometimes that means taking an entirely different road. For us, my mom had chronic congestive heart failure. So her course was different. She had a gradual decline with increasing fragility and difficulty breathing and difficulty with her heart. So we had started a hospice in the home.
Right.
And mm-hmm. One of the things that I liked best about hospice was in the home was how reasonable and understanding the hospice team was trying to meet our needs. They were responsive to our requests, and hospice has a whole team of people that are ready, you know, a chaplain, a social worker, a planner, a nurse, an aide, all of these people that are there to help you.
Exactly.
But if my mom didn't need part of that, we could talk about that and discuss it. My mom and dad didn't really want a whole lot of people coming into the house. So they were very comfortable with meeting the home care worker or the visiting nurse that would come.
Right.
And there might have been other aspects that we didn't have come to the home. So that was one way that they really try to meet the family's needs. And they were also helpful in Oh, helping us know and understand that where we needed to prepare ourselves for the end that was coming. And it may have worked out that we could have had Mom in the home until she died. But just for comfort reasons, she was admitted to Kaplan towards the end. And only stayed at Kaplan for 6 days.
So but primarily, she received the care at home. And then the last week, you felt it was better.
Last week at Kaplan. Mm-hmm. And we so appreciated that because at home, she had reached the point that even with the support of a home care aide and nurse, we really did not feel we were keeping her safe or comfortable. And it was so comforting to us to have her go into Kaplan and just be taken in with open arms and be comfortable for her last few days.
Right. And it also gives the family a chance to relinquish some of the caregiving aspects, because when you do have hospice care in the home, which most people do, probably about over 90% of the care that we offer throughout our area of Orange and Sullivan counties is in the home, because most people want to be at home at the end of life. And so the family certainly becomes the primary caregivers with the help and, of course, the assistance of hospice and all of the interdisciplinary parts of the care team that you so beautifully mentioned, the nurse, the aide, the social worker, the spiritual care counselor, whatever it is that you need comes in as a team approach. This way, the family and the patient really are never alone. They never have to feel abandoned, because there is always somebody there that can certainly help you. And you explained that so beautifully. But yes, Mom did come into the residence the last week of her life. And I wanted to say that your mom, Janet Steves, she was very well known in our village and surrounding as well, because she was a school teacher for a very, very long time.
She taught for many years, first at the sixth grade at the middle school and then at Taft School.
Right.
She was very active in the local church and the local community. So, yes it was really a loss for all of us when they both died.
Yes, yes. And how old was Mom?
Mom was 98.
My goodness. So they both lived very, very long lives and very, very full lives, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They did. They were very much before their time, Sharon, because they knew to talk to their five children about what it is that they wanted and certainly what they didn't want.
Right.
At the end of life. And to this day, these are struggles that people today have, whether it's the family that doesn't want to talk about it, or the loved one who maybe needs to say what it is that they want or don't want, because maybe they're getting into the last chapter of their life. It's a very hard conversation to have. And I have to say that over the last months, especially what we've all gone through with this pandemic, is that we've had many, many, many families, many, many people have to experience, unfortunately, a death of a loved one that they certainly was not expecting.
Right.
And with that came really not understanding or not knowing really what that loved one really wanted.
I think the end-of-life conversation is much more difficult for us as a daughter or son than it is for the parent. I think the parent is ready to discuss it and willing to discuss it, may not know how to start the conversation. And then we as the adult children are not always willing to start the conversation. But when we build up our courage enough to begin that conversation, it's so important. We need to know what our parents' wishes are, how they want their days to be, what's important to them, because Something that's important to them might not be as important to me. Something that's important to me might not be at all important to them.
Right.
And it's really a way to honor and respect their entire lives, all the number of years that they both were together and they both raised a family.
Yes.
You need to respect those years.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that I always try to bring across through our monthly program here on WTBQ, which we're very, very fortunate and appreciative to have, so that we can talk about these things and let the public know that, you know, these are real issues that everyone is going through. It's important to learn about each other, who we love, who are in our family, learn about what it is that they would want or not want at the end of life. Because unfortunately, we don't really know when that's going to happen sometimes. And it comes upon us. And I have to say, as I mentioned before, going through this the past few months, we were able to take care of many patients who did get the opportunity to maybe go home or maybe to have family around them when they were at the end of life. And something that they weren't expecting, or the family. You do need to have these conversations. It's very, very, very important.
I think if you don't quite know how to start the conversation, I actually found it very helpful to talk with my parents' doctors.
Yes.
And especially their internist and their cardiologist. And we had several conversations at doctor visits.
Yes.
About how to know when it's best to step in to do more caretaking, how to start thinking about the end of life, and how to start talking with both my parents about that.
Right.
So I think that's one reason that we as a family were feeling comfortable to do that, because it became really just the next step in their care.
Right.
And something that turned out to be very important for us.
Yeah, it really is. It's really very, very important. And you and your siblings really went through it beautifully. And unfortunately, that certainly doesn't happen all the time. But when it does, it really could make the end of life of your loved one just so peaceful and really, you know, what we would call a good death. Because
yeah.
There are good deaths and there are not so good deaths, just like everything in life. But when you're prepared and everybody knows what to expect and you're confident and comfortable with the amount of care that your loved one is being given, it brings so much peace to the family.
It does. It does. In order to be, to feel confident in some of your decisions, those final days,
right.
You do need the support of your family, your brothers and your own children, and even the grandchildren,
yeah.
You know, took part in those kinds of discussions.
Yes.
So the decisions that you have to make are very difficult. So it was so important to have support at that time.
Yes. Well, Sharon, I thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about your experience. I know that you're going to be busy. You've got a lot of things going on in your life right now. What some wonderful things. I understand you're expecting a new grandchild.
Yes, any day now we're
right.
expecting a new grandson, and we had a granddaughter born in February, and I have three other grandchildren in Michigan. So, we have a lot of things to look forward to.
You have a lot of wonderful things to look forward to, and I appreciate so much you coming on today and for the video testimonial that you gave us. That is just absolutely fabulous, and it is part of our new Memories Matter campaign. So I thank you so much for coming on, and all the best to you.
I'm glad to do it. I hope that it encourages many more families to consider hospice care.
Yes. I'm sure that it will. I'm sure. If our conversation just convinced one person to call us and get that care for their loved one, then we've done our due diligence today. And I appreciate you helping me with that.
Glad to do it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Janice. Bye.
Bye-bye. So you've been listening to the Nonprofit Notebook for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. I'm Janice Valentino. Thank you all for listening. Again, Give us a call, 561-6111, if you need us. And just remember this, there are no mistakes in life, just lessons to be learned. And let us learn well together. Goodbye, everybody.